for me personally, it was kind of a tough decision to make.
After several months of uncertainty for its DDF team, the Skagway School is advertising for a paid coach. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Nicholas Shotkovsky. That story after this. The Alaska Department of Natural Resources Division of Forestry is extending the deadline for completion of its emergency firefighters course. Greg Palmieri, a forester working for the division's Haines State Forest, explains that his office is hoping to increase the number of qualified wildland firefighters in the Upper Lynn Canal area.
The State of Alaska Division of Forestry is sponsoring an emergency firefighter class. We initially began the class in September, and we had quite a good response to that, but the timing for the practical didn't work out for most people, which was November 7th, so we're going to change that date, and tentatively we're looking at the first week of April. So at this point, we'd be entertaining additional individuals who want to contact our office at 766-2120 to sign up for the course by the end of November. We need to get you signed up by then if you want to participate in the spring practical that we're planning for the training that we have to have.
Prospective firefighters can complete the class online or can have the course materials downloaded onto a personal computer or digital storage device at the Haines Division of Forestry office. Completion of the course is projected to take about 40 hours, but participants will be able to proceed through the sections at their own pace.
The course is certified at 40 hours, but the self-paced course online gives you an opportunity to, you know, do it at your own speed to a certain extent. You know, you have to participate in each one of the elements and complete, you know, the little individual tests along the way and pass them. But it allows you to go back and continue to take them until you pass that particular section. So it really depends on the individual. That's why they're self-paced course. And, you know, I think it's better that we give people this winter to do it. You know, I just hope people take the time to sit down and go through it at a reasonable pace for them and not wait to the last minute and try to get it all done in a short period of time. Because, you know, it will take some time just to physically get through all the different sections that you have to get through for the course.
After participants provide the local forestry office with the results of their coursework, they will be qualified to take part in the practical exam, which Palmieri says will be offered in the spring of 2010.
We have an instructor that comes down from Palmer to administer the practical along with myself and Roy here. And we go through a series of six different stations, they call them, and we just perform some of the typical job tasks that an individual employed as an EFF might be required to do. So you have to show a minimum proficiency in these things. And so that's what the practical exam day is. And then there's also a physical test. The physical requirement to receive the red card that you have to do on an annual basis, even after you get certified the initial time, is a 3-mile test, a hiking test with 45 pounds on your back, and you have to complete it within 45 minutes. And that's something that, you know, is required along with a short refresher every year. And we put the refreshers on every year in the spring. So the practical exam for these students who are going to take this course is going to coincide with our refresher training that annually occurs in the spring this year. So we'll all be doing the testing together.
Currently, Skagway actually has more qualified emergency firefighters than Haines and Clukwan, despite its smaller population. But Palmieri says that if more Skagway residents are interested in getting red cards, provisions can be made for them to be certified as well.
We're down to the lowest we've been since I've been here in 95, which is 8 individuals in Haines. And we have approximately 10 in Skagway, and that's been pretty steady since 98. They go up a little bit. But there's about 10 in Skagway. And I'd also like to, you know, make sure that the individuals in Skagway are aware of this. If they have the opportunity this winter to take an online course and are interested in getting a red card, we're going to do the practical here for sure. And it's a possibility that if there's enough interest over there, we can set up the practical and get people red carded over there this spring as well. We'll have to do some coordinating there, but definitely if people in Skagway are interested, give us a call and we'll see what we can do.
According to data from the Alaska Interagency Coordination Center, more acreage burned in the state during the last decade than in the preceding 30 years. Nearly all of these fires occurred in interior Alaska, where individual fires can burn thousands of acres, and the total burned area in many years has been in the millions of acres. The Upper Lynn Canal, with a transitional maritime climate, typically sees fewer smaller fires, but as Palmieri says, they can still be an influence in the area.
In 2005, we burned more acres than we had in, on record, probably the last 20 years. In that 1 year, we burned over 300 acres, which was quite large for us. That was 11 mile and above 33 mile. Prior to that, you know, 97 and 98 were our biggest fires that we responded to. You know, it varies in sort of a three-year cycle, it seems like, but there's a lot of little fires that occur quite regularly every year. And those we call in individuals that are on this list of EFF that are available, and I just go down the list and see who's available at any given time to respond and be part of our crew, and then we assemble that crew and go respond to these small fires. You know, the small communities like us in Skagway, for example, you know, where fire can have a significant impact on our small communities and become a force in our communities if we don't watch out for it. You know, it really is great to have a good group of people that we can rely on to help out there when we do need people. We've been fortunate, but we need to build that base up a little bit bigger, and that's what we're trying to do with this course.
At its October 27th meeting, the Skagway School Board decided to advertise an opening for the coach of the school's drama, debate, and forensics team. President of the board, Chris Ellis, says that the decision to support a paid position was a tough one.
For me personally, it was kind of a tough decision to make for both sides of the fence. The financial program are part of it, and then the program itself. And it just seemed like it just kind of fell apart this year, but there was still interest from students, even though they hadn't quite got there yet, you know, because it was just kind of in limbo there. And, but because it, you know, kind of happened at the beginning of the year, not any other time, I thought I would just go with it, give it the benefit of the doubt, and see where it went from there. So it'll just depend on if we can get a coach.
The position has been empty since August, when former coach Kent Fielding resigned. Without an official coach and chaperone, the team was unable to attend the large meet in Haines on October 17th, which drew student performers from Juneau, Ketchikan, Sitka, and Wrangell, and featured workshops with professional actors from Seattle. Fielding says that he wouldn't have resigned when he did if he had known that the DDF team would remain without a coach for so long.
I did resign in August, and I believed that the position would have been posted because I have there is at least one person interested in town, interested in the job, Tegan Baldwin, who is the former art teacher here, has been interested in the position. And the only reason why I resigned was because I did not want to travel this year, because I've been traveling quite a bit. But I was going to help out with I was actually going to run the practices at school after school. So if I had known that this was going to cause a problem, I would have accepted a job and then dealt with the travel position later.
Ellis says that she feels the program is beneficial to Skagway students and will support it financially as long as there is student involvement.
Well, I think it's a very important program. I've always supported the program in itself. This just watching the performances and seeing what the kids get out of that program, it's pretty amazing program. But, you know, it really boils down to student involvement. If the students really want that program and really there's a big interest in it, then, you know, we could go out of our way to support student interest programs if we can financially. But there's a big support for that program in the community, I know. We had quite a few people at the board meeting speaking positively about it.
Early November may not seem like the best time for a canoe trip on the waters of the Lynn Canal, but 130 years ago this week, John Muir, accompanied by Presbyterian missionary S. Hall Young and guided by four Tlingit paddlers from Wrangell, arrived in the Chilkat Valley in just such a fashion. To mark the anniversary of this historic event, local author and educator Dan Henry will give a talk on Monday, November 2nd at the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center.
Muir gave a short speech. He was normally a very long-winded person, but he gave a short speech that really kind of capped things off. They knew what the missionary was going to be talking about, but they were particularly excited about Muir because they knew that he walked the glaciers, and they had a lot of respect for anybody who was willing to do that. So this week is the 130th anniversary for that. I'm giving a talk at the Sheldon Museum Monday night at 5:30 for an elder hostel group, but it's also open to the public. It'll be about an hour and 15 minutes or so that tells the whole story with the notes that I've been able to copy from archives and a lot of other sources. So it's a pretty cool time, very interesting event.
Reporting for KHNS, this is Nicholas Shodkovsky.